And were there problems with holidays at all, too?
Yes, no one thought they got enough holidays because, of course, they didn't. They didn't get as much. We got as much to begin with, in the sense, but VGH, the holidays, if you worked there 5 years, were longer. If you worked there 10 years and so on, ours always stayed the same.
Right. And were they given out on a seniority basis or?
Yes, of course. Once in seniority could, of course, say I want to go between June 1st and June 15th and so on. And it continued that way after the union. It's really the only feasible way, I think.
Right.
But our complaint was, under the old system, that the Catholic girls seemed to be able to get off, like one got off at Christmas every year for 3 weeks. No one else could even get 2 days off at Christmas. She got off at Christmas every year to go back to her folks. No explanation. If you asked why, you were told, you know, it just wasn't your business.
What was the attitude of management to the union campaign?
Management in the sense of the sisters. It was all left to Sister Gertrude. The other nuns didn't concern themselves with it, though they probably had their private feelings, but she was the one in charge. So it was left to her, and her attitude was extremely good. She had a personnel manager, Mr. McCabe, who was in the beginning, I don't think I told you before, he was the head of a Borstal-type boys detention, of the detention home for boys. And we were all treated very much like delinquent little children. If we were good, we were still sort of reminded what we were. You know, we were only...
You were always suspect.
Yeah, yeah. You might at any moment start doing wrong, you know, this sort of thing. Too bad, an old thing, but he was desperately anti-union. I remember when a bunch of us were handing out pamphlets, though I didn't even see them. I was at the other door. He called the police to take away the union fellows who were handing pamphlets out at the south door. Yeah. But, of course, that was... they went in and gave up for the time being. They were handing them out to people. As they went home, they could take one, or as they came in, they could take one. But one significant thing was that an awful lot of people going in wouldn't take them. But going out and going home, they would take them.
They were afraid.
So there was still a certain amount of fear, you know. Though, of course, I think immigrant people are kind of afraid, not only of the union question, but of a great many questions. They don't want to become involved. I suppose they're not supposed to, you know.
In terms of that fear, was there any basis for it? Like, were any people fired for union activity? Or?
Well, I don't believe so. I really don't believe so. There are certainly no instances come to my memory. I don't think so. A great many warnings, that I know. I was given a warning myself by Mr. McCabe.
And what did he say to you?
Well, said, did, you know, didn't I want my job? He knew I was supporting 4 children, and didn't I want my job? And I said, I'd like the use of the phone to phone the Labor Relations Board to tell them what was being said. And that was the last I heard of that.
Right. Okay. Were you a single parent at that time?
Yeah. To all intent, yes, I was. I wasn't legally separated. I wasn't divorced, but I was. My husband had walked out.
Mm-hmm. So did that mean that you basically had to work?
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, if I had been fired, I really don't know what I would have done. But once in every generation, you have to lay it on the line, whether it's your job or not, whether there's 10 children. Once in every generation, you have to do it. You think it's done, it isn't done, boy. Once in every generation, you've got to fight.
Right. When was that this campaign was happening? Do you remember about what years?
Yes. Yeah. Say 1955... to 1957, in through there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you talk a bit about what it was like trying to raise four children and also be active in the union?
It wasn't easy because, you know, the union meetings were held as early in the evening as they could manage, you know. They were held at 7:30, I believe, for a long time. And one could attend a great many of them, but I made no pretense of attending all. I couldn't do it. Physically impossible. I got up at 5 in the morning, and I was lucky if I saw my bed before midnight any night. You know, we had a big house.
Right, so you did the housework?
Mm-hmm. And we'd fruit trees, I'd fruit the can.
So you worked very hard.
Oh, I certainly did. Certainly did.
Right. Would you have liked to have been a full-time organizer for the
party? Oh, yes. Yes, I would have. I became a full-time organizer for the party, and I would have loved to for the union. Yeah.
And were the things that stopped you mostly the responsibilities?
Oh, well, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. That's a full-time job.
Did you use leaflets or... did you have meetings and use any other tools to organize?
Actually, we had meetings whenever Johnny and Bob, who were the Sparks there, whenever they thought it was necessary until the thing got underway. And we did use leaflets in the sense of notifications of meeting, and also leaflets the BC Federation of Labor put out, the desirability of unions and so on, this sort of thing.
Right. Did you have... sort of liaison person from the BC Fed at all?
I didn't myself, but I know the boys did, yes. I can't say who it was even, but I know we did. I know the boys got help in organizing even from BC Fed.
What kind of help would they give?
I imagine advice on how to do it, wouldn't you? That was my understanding at the time. I mean, how would they know how to do? I would, but I'm a born organizer. But I don't imagine they would know how to do it without help.
You mean how to talk to people?
Yes. I know there were strange men who came down and handed out leaflets, too. I didn't ask where they came from. You know, you take things so nonchalantly while it's going on. And later on it dawns on you, who are those guys, you know? But I'm sure they were from BC Fed.
And did people go around from various different wards or different floors?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. They had contacts all over the place. Not only sometimes one girl on a ward, but two or three, you know. There was quite a groundswell of opinion, largely, as I say, kind of clustered around this money issue, because we were getting nothing, beans, you know. It was terrible.
So would people be talking union all the time?
Well, yes, believe me, there was, whenever you'd buzz and buzz together, and then a boss would come along and everybody'd be working like mad, and the minute he got by, you'd start again, telling the latest information. You hear so-and-so got in trouble with Mr. McCabe and all this, you know.
Was it really exciting?
Oh, yes, it was great fun. That's such a dull job, you know, a nothing job, that, you know, anything. It's great fun.
And did you go to people's homes at all, the organizers?
Yes, but not that much, because, you know, you can just see them all the time. You've no trouble seeing them. If nothing else, you can go over and sit down beside somebody in the main lunch room. You know, I think a hospital's a little different, that... you really don't need to do much home visiting. I can never remember not being able to find anyone I wanted.
Is that sort of because there's a real concentration of the workers?
Oh, yes,
there?
Yes, and because they have a common lunchroom. Mind you, we had a little lunchroom in the laundry, but there was nothing to stop you from going to the cafeteria,
right,
which we did a lot at that time to get to talk to people.
And were the
Well, we didn't really have to get to talk to people, to convert people in the lunchroom. We were just in charge of our own little unit, you see. So it was just to compare notes. We'd dash over to the lunchroom and see what was doing there.
Were the women in the laundry very pro-union?
Well, yes, perhaps more than any other department. They were the girls who really did the hard, hard work.
Right.
really hard. And I think they were, they and one other department was good too. I can't remember which one, but Johnny said the laundry and this other department were really tops.
What were the hard areas to organize?
Oh, paramedical. The practical nurses were not too easy, but when they came in with a bang, you know. But the paramedical type of people, the older women who'd been, were Catholic and were with the sisters for years, the closer they were to management, the harder they were to organize.
Right. Was that the case in terms of some job areas, like?
Well, I'm thinking, for instance, of the woman, the people who cleaned Villa Maria. That's the residence on the penthouse where the sisters lived. That sort of person. The person who was in charge of the priest's room and clothing and stuff. Those sort of people were impossible. We just learned to let them alone. And the waiters, the cafeteria, they were fine. The secretarial staff were impossible, pretty well, though some of them were good. This type of thing, the lab workers, weren't that easy. They were in touch with the doctors quite a bit.
So it was almost like there was almost an identification with management?
Mm-hmm. In some cases, yes. Three or four people didn't join the union. They had to pay the dues, but they were allowed not to join. And eventually they died out or left or something. All was well. But there were no disturbance while they were there.
Did the lab workers come in with you?
Yes, some of them. You see, there are people in the lab who are just doing very menial type of jobs. The paramedics in the lab, you know, the actual technicians, know. They came in with us, and later on, the X-ray technicians left us and formed a group of their own, though I can't tell you which it was. And the lab workers, I believe some of those did, the technicians there, left us, and whether they formed a group or whether they just stayed unorganized, I don't know. But a certain level of them were still in the union, that I know.
Do you remember the central contract issues in the first contract?
Not really, just bread and butter issues, really. Recognition of the union, holiday pay, or better holiday conditions, not only holiday pay, and higher wages. The hours, nothing much could ever be done about those, you know, because the shifts seem to make it necessary. They did change the shifts by half an hour, yeah. Instead of 6:30, you came on at 7 and so on. But that's just about it for the first contract.
Were there problems with shifts in the hospital?
Always. Always. Because have you ever worked shift work? Yeah. And you know what it is. You never get your sleep. No sooner do you accustom yourself to sleeping at night, then you're switched on to nights and you're trying to sleep in the day, and even a day to evening shift is bad. Throws your meals off, throws your sleeping hours off, you to say nothing of your social life or family life. Oh, it's a rotten situation.
Were people on swing shifts then in the hospital?
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Oh yes. I don't know how else one does it. But I always thought a great many of the girls preferred to stay on one shift. And even then, say, their social life was botched up, but at least they could sleep and they could eat at the same times and this sort of thing. But they abandoned this idea totally, perhaps 10 or 11 years ago, and you had to change. You changed from day to evening or from night to day. You didn't have to change from days to nights, say, but it was still a rotten deal.
Right. And would you ever experience things like being called and told not to come in or missing pay or that kind of thing?
Before the union, yes. I can remember, I can't remember just what happened, but it must have been some sort of a breakdown of some type in the laundry, or perhaps we were all caught up or something, but a bunch of us were phoned and told not to come in. Two or three times, it didn't happen terribly often, but enough that we were pretty put off because there was no pay with it.
What were the nuns like as a management?
Oh, very, I don't think you should call them paternalistic, but probably maternalistic. And very much Mama knows best, you know. One just didn't speak. If you were scolded for anything, it did you no good to say, but I didn't do this. This isn't my job. You just stood and took what was there. And later on, you perhaps went to your own supervisor and said, look, I'm being accused of this or not doing this. And perhaps she would take it up with the sister concerned. But they were very, very strict.
How was the hospital structured? Was it like there was a nun over each department and then,
oh, yes,
then lay personnel, mm-hmm, supervisors?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So though in surgery, for instance, Sister Scholastica was not only the nun in charge, she was the supervisor too. That could happen, but mostly not.
So it was like there was a dual structure of, mm-hmm, supervision.
Yeah.
And
oh, it was a beauty, I'm telling you. Not a mouse could creep but what someone knew about it.
And in terms of the nuns, was there sort of a belief in dedication to your job?
Oh, definitely. Oh, well, you didn't need much wages because after all you were, you know, supposed to take the rest out in dedication, of course.
Right. And did that have an effect in particular on Catholic workers?
Oh, yes. Not necessarily Catholic workers, but older Catholic workers. The young ones, I think, went on pretty well the same as anyone else. But it did have an effect on a great many of the older personnel, whether Catholic or Protestant, I thought.
Was that because they agreed with those concepts?
Well, it was just a general brainwashing that took place from the time some of them went in, perhaps at 16 or 17, and they stayed there forever, you know, because when they went in, there were just no jobs to be had, eh? And the bright ones, I tend to feel, got out when in wartime, when there were jobs. But that leaves a level that can't find it in themselves to move, to go on and better themselves or anything. And they had just about the level of mental competence you can imagine. So that was their life then, eh? And if they went against that, if they ever said that was wrong, what did that make of them? It meant that their life was useless, eh? And I think you're going to defend, even if it means pretending to defend some concepts that normally you wouldn't, you know.
Mm, right. So when you were unionizing, were there any people who held out particularly and were?
Oh, yeah. As I said, three or four people refused to join and just were told they had to pay their dues, and they did, and didn't make any trouble about it as far as I know, apart from a certain amount of loose talk, sort of.
Did any people sort of play the role of sort of telling on the workers?
Oh, yes. One of the men from the old company union did, the president of it. He's dead now, so I shouldn't run him down, but actually he was just a very pliable man. Later on in union history, we found him to be quite good. In other words, he was now pliable to the union, instead of pliable to management, you know. And we found them actually quite good later on.
Right. And do you think that there was sort of an inner conflict in people between their union activity and some of this sort of the ideas that the nuns put forward around?
Yeah, I think there was. Naturally, that sort of person mostly didn't go to union meetings, you know. I think they just kept their mouth shut and sort of rationalized their staying there to themselves, and that was it. But there were people who wouldn't discuss the union, yet who wouldn't lift a finger to do anything against it. But just, you could tell they didn't care about it.
Right. In the hospital, were women present at all different levels?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So women were supervisors?
Except women were supervisors, but I don't remember a woman. The head administrator is always a man. The head medical director is always a man. Now, this may not be so since I left. I really don't know. But the top posts, the two really top posts, were always men. It was pretty general then, I think.
Did it help to have women supervising women? Were they more sympathetic to some of the problems?
Well, they were a fairly hard old lot, a lot of them. But actually, I think probably it was better than to have men. Yeah, I didn't have anything against them exactly, but you know what hard old bags rise up to those jobs. It seems middle management, I'll take top management any old time. I think they probably were better. Yeah.
Right. And things like if you had sick children at home or issues like that, would they be
overtime? Yeah, they weren't. I think they were probably as good as any workplace, which meant that, well, you knew it wasn't thought very well of, but on the other hand, you knew your job would still be there when you got back, yes. And on occasion, your supervisor might even phone and ask you how the child was or something. It wasn't thought very well of, but your job would be there.
Was the hospital sensitive to women's needs?
No, not really, no. They were sensitive perhaps to workers' needs in some areas, but that might just as well have been a man who phoned and said he couldn't make it, you know. But no, I don't think they were sensitive to, except don't you think women's supervisors probably are a bit more sensitive to women's needs anyway than men's supervisors, all other things being equal? So probably that was a gain for us women.
Were the women who worked there, did they put forward their needs specifically?
Well, in those days, my dear, did you have needs or rights? You didn't really know whether you did or not, did you? Yeah, I didn't know I had any needs or rights, and perhaps in the last stages of my working days, but we were brought up to think that, you know, you just didn't. If you didn't get something, it was your own fault. And if you wanted freedom to work, well, why did you get married and have children in the first place? Someone would say, you know, this sort of thing. There would be no one, I don't remember ever asking for help in areas of my children, but if I had, I'm sure I would have been told, well, you chose to have these children, now it's just pretty much your tough luck what you do with them.
Was the majority of the workforce female?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And what kind of work did men and women do there, the different?
I think you could probably put it this way. The men did the best paid jobs and the heaviest jobs, which were in many cases the same thing, you see. And they did the engineering type of jobs, work with the electrical system, the heavy maintenance, as I remarked, that is pushing those machines around, this sort of thing. They did the wall washing and the ceiling washing. And the women just did everything else. The men were chefs in the kitchen. There were no women chefs. The lower paid help in the kitchen was all women. And the supervisor in the kitchen was a woman, a nurse, a dietitian.
Did women act as porters?
When I first went there, all porters were men, with the exception of a Mrs. Doyle on the fourth floor. I don't know how she came by that job so early, but she did. Then later, they begun replacing all these porters with women. After one of the multifarious changes every year, this was one of my complaints in the hospital, every year we try something new. Evidently, the supervisors don't have enough to do because at these council meetings of theirs, they're able to change everybody's, the job analysis are checked and you're given different things to do and we're doing everything a different way this time. Sterilization's not being carried out the same and so on and so forth. These damn reorganizations. And in one of these reorganizations, they took the men porters and gave them other jobs and put women in, which, of course, was a very smart move for them because they didn't have to pay the women as much. In fact, substantially less, $50 less, if my memory serves me right, for the identical job.
Did the union fight that wage reduction at all?
Well, my dear, they were still fighting it when I left. I don't know whatever came of it. Because I moved out here, you see, and don't see many of the old crowd anymore.
In terms of women in the union, were women active taking office positions as officers or as stewards?
Yes. I'd have to say that men and women both were, within the limitations of shift work, primarily, I think, the offices went to people who worked on one shift steadily. For instance, the laundry girls, there were no night shift in the laundry. And quite a few of the laundry women were on the officers. And when you think that the laundry workers were considered to be not too bright, you know, that was remarkable. But it was just explained by this, how many people don't have to work shifts in a hospital. So men or women both, I think, served as officers just because they worked days or straight nights, for instance. Swing shift people couldn't, evening shift, they couldn't work, they couldn't be officers.
Because of meeting time?
Why, sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And were the presidents and business agents male or female?
Well, the president, I can remember one woman president, and the business agent was always male because I don't think truly that it was discrimination. We hung on to the same business agent for ages because nobody else could take it.
Mm-hmm.
Shifts are much more of a fact of life than you might think in a hospital, and it had to be a person who wasn't unduly tied with small children and that sort of thing, so... as long as Johnny would keep it, we let him. I think we only had two business agents, and one drank so much he eventually had to go. And then Johnny got it, and he was still there when I left. And I'm sure nobody contested him for it, because that was a job that did take a great deal of time and a great deal of freedom.
Did people feel that... they would have encouraged women to take positions?
Oh, yes. Oh, heavens, I can remember positions up for grabs. They would be coming around to you begging you to take such a position. Oh, yeah, I thought there was complete freedom there.
Did the union do various things to try and keep people interested in it?
Oh, yes, they did. I never thought too much of Johnny and Bob's... basic philosophy, but there was no doubt about it, they were heart and soul in the union, but I questioned whether I thought they should have been taking courses themselves in trade unionism to learn new things to do, you know, this sort of thing, but they didn't, but they did the best they could, I think. They put on parties and had raffles and tried to make the union meetings a bit interesting. They'd have the odd speaker in.
Did you have an education committee?
Yes, I was chairman of the education committee. And I tried to bring old films in from BC Fed and this type of thing and teach labor history a bit, learning at the same time, of course.